I did go because, not because I expected anything particular about the space. I just knew Michael, and he seemed like a really interesting artist to me, mostly because he was not interested in signing any of his work, and all of his work, at least the work that I knew that he had made or was in the process of creating, was all very ephemeral, and I'm interested in ephemeral art. And so I thought that because he placed his piece in a rain, was essentially a rain drain, that he wasn't really seeking any permanency, that he was making it for his own sake and for whoever, you know, in a very short period would be interested in seeing it. And in fact, I think that he was hoping that people would see it accidentally rather than in any formal way, you know, like you would go in a gallery. So because I was interested in his work, he invited me to come to the site. And it was very interesting because he invited me on a day where the water level was low, because, you know, sometimes these drains really fill up. In fact, he told me that at some point during the creation of this piece, he was in water up to his waist or higher, and I couldn't quite, you know, imagine creating a piece under such hard, difficult circumstances. But then I've seen some work by graffiti artists in other countries where they do the same thing. They go in spaces that are not always accessible, and they really put themselves to a pretty kind of a torturous kind of a situation to create something that won't even last very long. So I find that process very interesting. I find it very similar to music and performance art, where you put it out to a public, sometimes a very small public, especially if it's a marginal artist, and then it's over with and gone. You know, and I know that because I play music, and I'll have a bad note, you know, coming out of whatever, or miss a beat or something, and people always say, don't worry, because the audience won't notice. But in the case of visual art, it's different, because visual arts are meant, you know, to last for a period of time. And so I find that combination of visual production and the ephemeral quality of other forms of art to be interesting. And then I, you know, in talking to Michael, I just noticed that he's just into ephemeral art. I mean, he uses tape. You know, he did that incredible project in Manhattan making a portrait of every person who died, of the firemen who died in 9/11. And so, you know, it's an interesting person. So I went into the space with him, and I asked him a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the questions, because I was recording on a camera, and when you record something behind a camera, you're focused on the visual collection of the materials rather on your memory, because, mm-hmm. you know, the camera is recording. So, but I remember that a lot of the pieces were high up. He had hung them from the ceiling because of the issue of the raising and lowering of the water in the tunnel, I mean in the drain. And that, you know, that was a sort of a purposeful kind of a design, because he knew the water went up and down. And so in the back of his mind, there must have been some notion of showing the piece to a few people, you know, by its placing it so high in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I remember that struck me was that the tunnel is dark. You know, it's a dark place, and that all the pieces were light. You know, a lot of them were white, figures that were white. And so I was impressed by that kind of a contrast, and the fact that he had brought in materials to create it rather than using found objects, which I'm sure you find. So, or rather than painting on the ceiling, he had created three-dimensional objects and placed them in this very surrealistic kind of a space. I mean, it was pretty extraordinary. So his goal has been accomplished. I mean, he creates more for himself than for anyone else. Mm-hmm. And if you show an interest in his work, he will explain it and show it to you,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he's the kind of artist who's, you know, he's ephemeral. I mean, not he, but his work is
mm-hmm.
very ephemeral,
mm-hmm.
and that's what interests me in him. I deal with a lot of art that is ephemeral because I teach the arts of, you know, I don't know what to call it. Some people call it non-Western arts, you know,
mm-hmm.
African, Asia, Pacific,
mm-hmm.
South American, tribal, sometimes it's called folk art, you know, which I consider all of these forms of art, contemporary art forms. They exist while we're alive, and therefore,
mm-hmm.
to me, they're contemporary. And so these classifications bother me a little bit, and I like to see Michael, you know, on a par with all of these forms of art,
mm-hmm.
which are, they're functional for a short period of time, they are appreciated by a small number of people. I mean, they are different in other ways. I think that there is an underground, if you want to call it that, or marginal art community in every city, you know, in this country, and we're more aware of this one because we live here, or at
mm-hmm.
least I'm more aware of it because I know a lot of artists, and I make it my business to actually
mm-hmm.
try to find that form of art. And then what happens, and I think that's generally a trend in the arts, is that you know, some non-profit or some kind of an institution develops with someone who has a passion for that kind of art, and then it becomes institutionalized, and then a new generation of artists, you know, starts creating in a new format or underground or in a new space, and it remains a little bit underground for a while, and then
yeah.
slowly, and then it becomes, you know, it's like Firehouse 13
mm-hmm.
has become institutionalized. The artists who participate, a lot, not all, but many, you know, are part of sort of a group of marginal artists, and all of a sudden they become institutionalized, and the nature of it changes
mm-hmm.
a little bit. Does it exist here more than in other places? Well, I mean, you know, we do have the Rhode Island School of Design here,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the artists may decide to remain here and
mm-hmm.
may or may not find employment and try to gather in spaces that are affordable and form, you know, a loose community, and a lot of exchanges
mm-hmm.
start happening. And I'm more aware of it here, but when I was living in New York or in San Francisco, I was aware of it in those cities
mm-hmm.
as well. But it's remarkable that these things go in and out of formal institutional settings, and in some cases that turns the artist into more recognized, sometimes more mainstream artists. You know, but there's an underground going on right now. You know, this, and then some people by choice stay in that vein, you know, ephemeral, marginal, unofficial kind of art. But Michael seems to stay there. Now, in order to do that, you have to be economically self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the other part
mm-hmm.
of that, is that some people, some artists, can't stay there for economic reasons, and
mm-hmm.
some can, you know, either because they have another source of support
mm-hmm.
or because they live themselves very marginally
mm-hmm.
or for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason they may find